From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of July, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Chad Hart from Iowa State Extension will join us to discuss more of the marketplace and how he sees things in Iowa and what he expects the marketplace to do. And then we'll check the weather forecast and also talk about what's been happening in the cattle market with Jason Frank, and he's with Western Illinois University, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today at $5.49 3/4, up 2.5 cents. December at $5.46 3/4 at the CME Group, 3 3/4 higher for the day. And the March at $5.54 1/2, up 3.5 cents. August soybeans, $14.12 3/4, 11 3/4 higher. November at $13.57 3/4, up 6. And bean meal in the August, 40 cents higher at $3.53.60. The bean oil, $66.43, up 77 cents. And wheat futures for the soft red December at $6.86 3/4, down 6 3/4. Hard red December at $6.50 1/2, down 6 3/4. And the spring wheat at $8.69, 2 3/4 cents lower for the day. Live cattle futures at $129.20, up $2.05. Feeder at feeders at $164.82 1/2, up $2.30. And lean hogs at $93.10, 47 1/2 cents higher on the day. Crude oil at $72.08 a barrel, just about unchanged. Diesel fuel at $2.15 2/10. That's heating oil, 1 6/10 higher. And gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB, up 1 6/10 at $2.27 7/10. Crude oil in the Brent at $74.50 is 40 cents higher on the afternoon. Ethanol futures unchanged on the day. A quick look at some of the other marketplaces. Gold futures at $1,796.20, down $5.60 for the afternoon. And one other, the Dow Jones Industrial Average for the day at 35,000 even, up around 51 points. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. I don't know that the closing prices for the day reflected very well what really happened in Chicago, because it was a much broader range than what we saw. Can you tell me a little bit about the overnight trade and end of the day trade, please?
Well, the bottom line, turn around Monday compared to what we were looking with last night. Man, I tell you, the evening trade was called higher. It opened steady higher. Then after about 1 or 2 minutes of that, they said the heck with that, and down we went. Basically, there was some rain around. There was some rain here through central part of the Midwest, up in the upper Midwest there, and the weather maps continue to kind of not agree. We're warm and dry here for a few days, and we're going to cool down for possibility of some showers and then warm back up. So, you know, weather's getting to be a main theme in through here. But kind of the outside news, there was a little bit concerned, not only the weather was flip-flopping around, but China. There was some talk that some Chinese negotiators were visiting, and that the relationship's at a stalemate, and China came up with a list of demands that need to be met here in this negotiation process here, and kind of a little disturbing, because we do have an agreement. We're moving into phase two. They're committed to buy about $43 billion worth of products here as we move through 2021, and we're not seeing that happen right at the moment. You know, pork-wise, they've got enough pork around. Pork and beef sales have slowed down somewhat. Typically, they start coming in and showing some signs of booking some new crop here as we go into fall and winter. It's a logistics thing. You know, the boats have been moving beans and grain out of the southern hemisphere, and that boat traffic needs to ship to the northern hemisphere to keep their logistics in a timely fashion in through here. So we need to make sure that they stay committed here, and we stay on some good terms with them and see the Asian business come in, because that's the big thing. But that news, with the full moon over the weekend and through here, just kind of had the market on its defensive posture there. And as we got into the meat of the day, export inspections were fairly decent. We're shipping out what we sold, even though we not selling a whole lot of new stuff yet, no confirmation of some sales, and that gave the market the energy or the idea that maybe we could see some short covering. Investor confidence, the Dow was hanging in there. The energies were lower, and they were able to come back and trade higher. Most of the metals, particularly copper, renewed its tear to the upside here. And that kind of helped things along nicely, too. Technically, real encouraging day, actually, if we can see some follow-through Tuesday here, because we made a new low, and we closed higher on the day, a hook reversal up. Timing was right for some short-term lows in through here. Price-wise, it depends which high and low you measure off of, but D's corn at 532. Fell in place there, and these November beans at 532, actually 531, depending where you put the decimal point in through there on some retracement levels, kind of did what it needed to do. If we can hold together here and move higher, the key will be last Friday's highs. There's going to be some buy stops in the November beans up there just above that 1368 area. From a trader's point of view, and same thing in the December corn, it's a ways up there, but you get back up in that 565 area or so, you know, you could generate some buying activity on that type of bounce. So probably bottom line technically and fundamentally range bound as we move forward here. This afternoon's crop conditions report is expected to show some slight deterioration. But some of these analysts on the corn yields got their corn yield up to this 181 bushel area, you know, a bushel or two above where the current estimate is. So producer themes continues to be corn looks good, but, man, I can see over the beans and there's some spots in there just don't look as good as I want them to.
Are there concerns in any parts of the Corn Belt at this point from your perspective?
Well, it is, you know, the main concern continues to be where the moisture has been short. Then there are spots here in the east where some low areas are gone, but typically the moisture helps the higher areas, kind of offsets that somewhat. There's some optimism because fungicides going on left and right, and so in order to go to that extra expense, there's some optimism I can raise a few more bushels to market to pay for that. So there's still hope. There's still optimism here in the east. And as far as the west goes, I've not talked to a whole lot of producers up in that Dakota, Minnesota area. Southern Minnesota had a few rains. We got just a handful of guys up in there, and they thought they were stable. They feel like they're not going to have no record yield, but they're going to have a decent crop if the weather would cooperate from here on out.
How much time do you suppose the market will need to reach back up into those recent highs that you talked about earlier in our conversation?
Well, that would be a so-called dead cat bounce. With no extreme weather concern in through here, we can see some short covering. It is end of the month. We did go through some August option expiration here on Friday, so end of the month squaring away positions, and if we can get the weather forecast juiced up again in here, I think we time-wise we got another week or two ahead of the August crop report to see some recovery bounces. But to go sharply higher seasonally, the clock's kind of ticking away on that, unless the forecast will extremely warm and dry here as we finish out the crop. And concerns about curdle death and pod filling would be the catalyst fundamentally.
Yeah, so I suspect that you want producers to make catch-up sales to where they need to be prior to the time we get to the August crop report?
Well, I think just about everybody's where they want to be. You know, they've had plenty of time and plenty of ups and downs in through here. You know, it's getting to the time window now here where one needs to probably decide whether to store or sell. And for those guys is kind of penciling some better bushels than what they were looking at here earlier this spring. It's going to be decision time to, you know, maybe let that go or go ahead and put it in the bin and store it.
Hey, thank you.
Very good. Take care.
Mm-hmm. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. It's a Monday afternoon. Let's check in with Chad Hart from Iowa State University Extension. He's an agricultural economist there in Ames. Thank you, Chad, for being with us today. I drove through your state on Sunday of last week. Actually, it looked much better than I thought in the Northwest. And it was across from, I don't know, about Fort Dodge to Dubuque on Route 20 that had me a little bit concerned. What are you hearing from farmers around the state?
Well, that's the deal. As you mentioned, I'd say Iowa's sort of a transition state, and it's not one of these deals that necessarily moves east to west, but sort of our weak spot is our main producing region, though, north central. And what we're seeing there is if it's not a drought, we've had some hail, we've had some wind damage. But yeah, we've got some rougher crops up in the northern part of the state. Where we sort of look the best is down in the southeast corner. But, and I think, you know, what you're seeing with Iowa is sort of, let's call it a microcosm of what you're seeing in the U.S. The idea is it's the northern and western crop that's in trouble. It's the southern and the eastern crop that's looking like it could, if you will, make up the losses that we're seeing in the north and west.
Well, a couple of things as it's related to the commodity markets this week. The trade has begun to discuss the idea that USDA numbers, as they were posted in May, June, and July, actually maybe closer to right than wrong, for yield. The market has dropped off again from the highs that were posted in May. How do you see this playing out over the next, I don't know, few days to month or so?
Well, that's the deal. I guess I'm looking at it as, especially if you look back at these markets since the beginning of May, what we've tended to do is sort of peak early in the month, bring it back down again towards the end, peak back up again at the beginning of the next month, and sort of rinse and repeat here. And my guess is we'll do the same thing as we get to August. But the challenge here really is that, yeah, when we're looking at this crop, you know, USDA held firm to basically saying we're going to stay at trend line yields because they haven't seen enough to really push them off that. You combine that with the crop conditions report, which continues to show, you know, let's call it a slightly below average rated crop, especially compared to the 5-year average. And it's one of these deals of everything's pointing to something. It may not be quite trend yield, but when we look at overall at the nation, it will be closer than we expected given the size of the drought problems that we see, especially out west.
What do you make of the lower highs since the month of May and how that plays into new crop?
Well, that's the deal. I think, you know, when we look back at this, you know, it's going to average out. And then, you know, I've sort of argued that we're playing a seasonal market. It's just with a lot of swings within it. And so when you think back to, we basically had the high for corn early May. We had the high for soybeans in early June. When you think back to seasonal trends, that's usually when you have those. And then we've started to work our way back down. Again, to me, that makes sense given the overall strength of the national crop. Now, I think we'll see some interesting things basis-wise, but when I'm looking back at sort of the cash price nationwide, I think it's going to draw out a nice seasonal curve.
That would mean that USDA's current season's average cash price for both corn and soybeans must be encompassing large number of early season sales, I would think.
I think it is. And when you're looking here, you know, as you mentioned, the idea is we've seen these swings and the futures market is definitely trading at levels right now, which would indicate below what USDA is reporting here. But I think we did see, especially, you know, through May and June, we did probably see some farmers take a few more steps out there and making some pre-harvest marketing plans there, grabbing some of those higher prices when they could.
What are you telling producers?
At this stage, it's more of a waiting game now. You've probably made those pre-harvest moves you're going to make. Now we're waiting to see just how good this crop actually is when we get out there in the fields. And so this is a time of year when we do see prices tend to, you know, work their way down. Again, the seasonal pattern would suggest that You know, as we go through August into September, we're working our way down to those harvest lows. So there's not really a move to make here necessarily on the crop end, but I think it does open up some opportunities when I look at our livestock brethren over there. You know, thinking about if you're worried about that, those, you know, feed supplies moving forward, this little breather gives folks an opportunity if they want to go in and lock in a little feed at a lower price than what they've experienced through the early part of the summer.
You then expect demand to remain strong?
I am hoping. I'll put it that way. I think when you look at our numbers, there have been some concerns there. We definitely have seen the export sales sort of trail off here. But again, that sort of makes sense again as those importing countries now, are now waiting to see just how good our harvest is. To me, the wild card here will be feed demand. As we look at the numbers, livestock numbers have been pulling back a bit. You know, when you look back at the latest cattle report and hogs and pigs report, and the numbers are getting smaller. At the same time, too, though, we know that, you know, especially for cattle, this drought means they're going to need some extra feed supplies to make up for the loss of some pasture and rangeland that they weren't able to utilize due to the drought.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That's Iowa State University Extension agricultural economist Chad Hart joined us on this Monday afternoon. As he mentioned in the end of our conversation, he was a little bit worried about livestock and demand for corn. In fact, the cattle on feed numbers were released on Friday of last week, and Jason Franken from Western Illinois University has delved into those. He calls it a somewhat smaller than expected cattle herd, saying that the U.S. cattle herd appears to continue its second consecutive year of declines within its typically decade-long period of expansion and contraction, and that currently there are about 5.5% more beef cows in the U.S. than during the last low point in 2014. The first signs that the beef herd was leveling off came about a year and a half ago, he says, and recent reports indicate a continuation of that trend, reflecting economics and some drought in parts of cattle country.
USDA's cattle inventory report has the total number of cattle and calves on July 1st at 101 million head, or 1.3% under last July's inventory, compared to the average pre-report estimate of just 0.5% lower and also below the anticipated range. The number of calves under 500 pounds at 27.4 million head is also down 1.4%, but that's still 2 million more than when the cattle herd was around its last low point in July of 2014. So a return to similar feeder cattle prices in excess of $2 per pound in the near future seems unlikely at this time.
There is also evidence that the breeding herd is leveling off, or at least not expanding overall, says Jason Franken. And given the inventory and cattle on feed numbers, he says beef production is anticipated to be no more than 1% higher in 2021 than last year, and then should drop off by 1.4%. next year.
Taking all of this into account, slaughter steer prices are forecast to average respectively about $117.73 a hundredweight and $121.93 a hundredweight for the last two quarters of 2021, and then $129.07 a hundredweight and $132.27 a hundredweight for the first two quarters of 2022.
A number of factors, says Franken, could yield notably different prices, including the extent to which drought continues to spur further liquidation of the cattle herd and resulting in subsequently higher prices, and the possibility that another strain of the coronavirus arises, thereby constraining demand and lowering prices. For Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, let's check the weather forecast now across the Corn Belt. A reminder that USDA this afternoon will release the weekly crop progress report, and traders are expecting it to show 73% to 78% of the U.S. corn crop has now pollinated. It's important to know whether that has gotten a little rainfall on it and how hot it has and will be. But again, the average pace at about this time of year is 70% pollinated, and traders are expecting It could be as much as 8% in front of that, anywhere between 73 and 78% pollinated. Over the last 72 hours, a good portion of Illinois and to the east have gotten some rainfall. In other parts of the Corn Belt to the west, only the very top few counties of Iowa have gotten rainfall, and that would be measured in the tenths of an inch. Minnesota has gotten a bit more than that, so the Dakotas, but not too much more. There was a heavier rainfall event in that South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota juncture that dropped as much as 3.5 to 4 inches of rain over the last 72 hours. And then when you look forward, you will see that there isn't a whole lot of rainfall for that part of the world that's due. Nothing, in fact, in the Fargo, North Dakota area, and their temperatures will be fairly warm at 95 today, 96 tomorrow, Wednesday, 96 as well. Knows all well above that 93 degrees that most corn agronomists will tell you is important for pollination, and below that is to go very well. And then things fall off on Thursday to 89, 91, and 85 by the time we get to Saturday. Again, no rainfall in Fargo, North Dakota. Manhattan, Kansas has been very warm, and they'll get warmer as the week goes on. 91 today, but Wednesday and Thursday 99 and Friday 96. Their lows in the high 60s to low 70s. No rainfall on the horizon there either. Checking Lincoln, Nebraska, while we're in the western part of the United States. 92 today, sunshine. That sunshine will stay with them all week long. Tuesday, 97. Wednesday, 99. Thursday, 95. They'll cool off into the weekend. Maybe get some rainfall, possibly on Saturday. Again, on Monday in Lincoln, Nebraska. And in Minneapolis, Minnesota, 95 today, 92 tomorrow, and 99 on Wednesday. Tuesday and Wednesday, though, they do have a chance of rainfall. A bit closer to home, we'll check in on Des Moines, Iowa, where it's 92 degrees today. It'll be 94 tomorrow, 96 on Wednesday. Sunshine all 3 days. A few clouds on Thursday and Friday. Highs in the upper 80s. Maybe some rainfall Saturday, but just a few scattered showers. And here in Illinois, sunshine today and tomorrow. Maybe some clouds on Wednesday. High around 90 degrees all 3 days. Same for Thursday, except there's a chance of rainfall. 82 on Friday under partly sunny skies. And Saturday, just a 78-degree high. And maybe some rainfall. And to the east, things look very good. 90 degrees for the beginning of the week. Mid-80s to lower 80s by the end of the week. Some rainfall maybe on Thursday, that in Indianapolis and in Ohio. Columbus should be 83 degrees with maybe a few showers on Thursday. 81 on Friday. Early in the week, the low 90s and some sunshine. Good corn growing and soybean growing conditions in that part of the world. And that's a wrap-up of today's closing market report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.